Welcome everyone to What the Force. I'm Marie-Claire Gould, your host, and with me is Kyle Gould.
That's me, everyone.
And this is the episode for The Bad Batch. War Mantle.
Like, we're just supposed to assume what it means. It's never even mentioned in the episode.
No.
Nothing is said at all.
Again, like, my theory is that they had these names, like, written out beforehand and then, like, wrote the scripts for them, had the rough, you know, one-liner concept, maybe from Dave Filoni himself working with Jennifer Corbett. And then the scripts kind of went their own way.
And that's fair. And you know what? This entire episode was about War Mantle.
It was.
I mean, it was really connected to it. I felt like the wrong perspective was shared for it to be really connective, but I'll get to that later, hopefully. My other, like, we have to go all the way back to, like, episode one to find out what the heck War Mantle is, and then remember that. That's like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing this since May, so.
Yeah, I am not here nor invested enough in a show to remember what the heck War Mantle is going to mean that many episodes later. Like, I guess, is that what Wikipedia is for? They understand, like, if you're a fan, you'll look it up.
Yeah, like, it's interesting. You're like, who's that clone? And I'm like, oh, it's Gregor. You might recognize him from the episode where Ahsoka sends the Rebels crew to go and find Rex.
Right. In the distant future.
In the future. But also in Clone Wars, he is the clone that died on the weird droid episode arc with Colonel...
Wait,
Colonel Gascon.
What? Explain this.
Okay, so there's a... In Clone Wars, there's a droid episode arc. It's like 3 or 4 episodes where the droids are like out on their own except for this little tiny frog man called Colonel Gascon. And he himself is like kind of a weird, very boastful character. And the droids, including R2-D2, are all sent on this mission to the super secret undercover mission. And Gregor gets blown up in that episode and has been, until those Rebels episodes, assumed dead. So that's where, like, the Bad Batch report death count. We might have to take some back occasionally because, like, well, did they really die? I guess they can fall off mountains and survive.
So that's what his line of, like, I've been blown up before?
Absolutely. So,
oh my God.
Like, the fans were like, well, how did Gregor survive?
Because we know Gregor from Rebels.
Yes.
Right?
But they also knew him from Clone Wars. He was there before and he got blown up. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, yeah. He got blown up. And people are like, he's dead.
So this happens in comic books all the time. Because an artist and a writer, they want to draw a character that's already dead.
Yeah.
So they're just going to be like, let's draw him. I really like him. So they don't care. They'll just retcon anything and bring them back. I didn't know Star Wars had started doing this too.
I mean...
And it's a clone, so it's not like you really like drawing him. Or the voice actor's like, I really like voice acting. I mean, it's a clone.
I personally think the reason that he's back is because they brought him back in Rebels.
In Rebels.
And then they wanted to create that connective tissue to say, oh, we explained this.
Right. And then the line of, like, a really old friend. And I literally looked at you when we first watched this. Because... We're back, everyone. We're back in our home. And we were able to watch this episode on a normal TV that a normal house has, because houses have TVs, don't they? Well, ours does. Several, in fact. So we watched this together on our couch. Oh my God, Marie Claire, a home with a couch.
It's fine.
I am not. Fine. You know what? I appreciate the places we have that are comfortable to sit that much more as a result.
Good.
Anyway, so back to this. I looked over to you and Rex called him my old friend Gregor. And I was
CT. He didn't even use Gregor. He called him CT. CC5576, which is his designation, of course.
And it felt like they're calling them by those designations solely to show us the differential in designation between clone trooper and, or clone commando, and whatever the new guys, the new
recruits and the bad batch, like that there is, and the TKs, which is exactly. The new Imperial code for stormtroopers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Anyway, so Rex calls him his old friend.
I know.
And I was like, you mean soon to be long time old friend? Because like they're hanging out together for forever, it seems, by the time we get to Rebels.
Yeah.
Okay, it was not, that was the least of the problems I had with this episode.
Well, you had problems with this episode? I really liked it.
You did?
I did. Yeah.
Well, let's dig into it, shall we?
Okay. I mean, this show in and of itself isn't without its criticism for me personally, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a very safe show. They're doing things that, like, you and I are like, they're going to do X, and then they do X.
Yeah.
Right? You said last episode, Crosshair is going to show up in this episode. We need more Crosshair. We need more behind the scenes explanation of what is going on. This is entirely leading towards a clone trooper rebellion of some sort. Really.
I hope.
I mean, what else could be going on that it is? I guess finding your way in the galaxy is an interesting
Yeah.
story.
The Empire is cool, okay, and the only way they can be taken down is with an exposed exhaust port on their largest extravagant expense.
And it was specifically put there. There's an entire movie about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have so many little frustrations with this episode. Because Crosshair was given permission to chase down our Bad Batch.
And he did nothing.
And he did nothing. Well, he did nothing except...
Well, maybe we'll find out that the reason he did nothing was because he's actually still, like, a good guy.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. If there was reasons. Shown.
But it sure did look like he killed the Prime Minister of the Kaminoan people.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So, wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't think he's going to be a good guy. I think that's part of the conflict of the show that they're going to hang on to. Sorry to ruin anybody's hopes there. But
yeah.
Yes.
You done dashed him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But there's a few reasons why I really liked this episode. I understood Hunter being like, no, you stay behind Omega. But she's the only one who seems to be able to pull out a decent plan. So that's not great.
I mean, we're about to go and infiltrate a base we know nothing about. I mean, actually, to be honest, the beginning was we're just going to go climb this mountain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to go back because we're going to go climb the mountain. And then, like, another problem I had, they climbed the whole mountain.
I know.
Halfway up at which... you would die if you fell from, supposedly.
Yeah.
And so they climbed double that and showed almost zero exertion for their efforts.
No. They're kick-ass. They're genetically so modified.
So kick-ass. They can climb a mountain and then be like, all right, let's go infiltrate. And it was like...
And not like have like a moment. Like me, like we're doing physical activity today and I'm like, I need to sit down for a minute.
I've thrown too many discs. I need to sit.
I'm tired.
I just need to sit a bit.
I didn't climb a mountain.
No.
Today. I mean, we did climb lots of mountains
yes.
while we were on vacation, but you still gotta sit at the end. But they're supposed to be like superhuman. That's like they were from,
yes.
you know, Jango, who was awesome.
But Echo and isn't.
Yeah, he's partially droid now.
They ran up a mountain.
They ran up a mountain. We've seen clone troopers climb mountains before, but this did seem exceptional.
Okay, I have another problem question.
Are we only talking about the problems, not the cool
I want
stuff?
To dig into all my issues and then we can talk about... There was some cool stuff. Yeah, okay, yay. Ooh, it was fun. My big issue, like, I cannot stop thinking about this.
Okay.
They took a holocall while in hyperspace.
Yes.
While in, like, we just went on a huge trip. Massive, massive regions of BC with huge trees and mountains and no cellular coverage for hours at a time. Traveling at a very fast rate.
Yes, yes. We and drove,
yet,
yes.
And yet their ship can take a private holocall from Rex in hyperspace.
The only thing that seems to interrupt holocalls is asteroid fields.
What?
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I mean, so ships typically travel in the hyperspace lanes. I assume they're set up for cell phone coverage. I mean, holo coverage.
How can it travel fast? I don't understand. How does the communication reach them if they're traveling through hyperspace?
You just have to suspend all disbelief.
No, this is important.
Why?
Because this science and our trip.
Okay, but this place,
couldn't even play a song streaming from Spotify at one point.
Okay,
and these guys can have a holocall?
Okay, but this also has a magical energy field that connects all living things and allows people to move things with their mind.
And I totally accept the force.
Okay.
The force? You mean the force is being tapped in order for them to
No, I'm not saying... Although there is some sort of, like, you know, the force is involved with hyperspace travel a little bit.
What?
So, like, yeah, I don't know. It might be leaning into that with some of the Thrawn books.
What?
Yeah.
The
At least navigation.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another thing I want to get to.
I mean, you're asking too many questions for Star Wars. It's like tissue paper thin. You just have to be like, yes, the thing worked.
See, you could have resolved that problem with like taking a call in hyperspace by just, we've gotten a message from Rex.
Popping out of hyperspace.
And it's just because Rex, it wasn't even a conversation with Rex, right? It was, even though it was a conversation with Rex, his message was, go rescue this guy. I don't have any time to talk about it.
Yeah, that would have been fine. Yeah.
And that would have been fine. And then they wouldn't have been able to get back to him because they were in hyperspace, right? Like,
yeah.
I should have done that. That would have made clearer, more cogent sense. Because it took me right out of the moment. We've watched this episode twice. And both times, I'm literally jaw open, wondering, how are they having holocalls while in hyperspace?
Magic.
The Force. It
doesn't matter.
Okay, so then as well, we're not even to that point. We're in the first few moments of it, and
yes,
you said this too, so I'm going to ask once again.
Okay.
How do stuns work again? Because that sure didn't seem like how stuns work.
Oh, okay. So Gregor is like running. Oh, yeah.
Run away.
Yeah,
from
okay.
The dogs.
So Gregor is running through the forest, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't think that's how stuns work.
He got stunned in the lower half.
In the lower half, and he was like able to power through it, like it only got like one of his butt cheeks or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't think that's how stuns work. I always thought it kind of like short-circuited their nervous system. But
so
what do I know? It's a giant like loop-de-loop, a Fruit Loop. Being
yeah.
blown at them by a pew-pew gun.
This isn't deadly.
Whoop.
It's a smoke ring. Blasted with a smoke ring.
But then they like kind of like they've used stuns since A New Hope, right?
Right.
They do not want to hurt Princess Leia.
Exactly.
That's the very first stun.
Yeah.
Right. So it literally like knocks her completely out.
Yes.
I don't know how stuns work anymore.
It really blew me away when
I think it's cool
he got hit in the lower half and then he just kind of started to stumble and then he continued to run. I was like, is that how stuns work? It is now.
I mean, I guess if it's like a stun gun maybe where you get like electroshocked, and I thought it overwhelmed your nervous system though and you like were like kind of electrocuted and then you passed out. I don't know. I don't know. It was cool. It was something I've never seen before.
Yeah. It's okay. My last problem.
Okay.
And then we can dig into like the good stuff and get all the other interesting, great things in. And that was, why does Gregor want out? It seemed really rushed. Like, I showed up, started training these guys, and then we're like, they're my replacements. F that, I'm out of here, boys. And then he just ran away. It's clear Gregor doesn't think things through.
No.
But.
And he's also like considered to be like insane.
Yeah. I think he's a little broken from having been exploded. So that's possibly brain damage, which is why the implant's not working particularly well for him. But I would have liked a bit better of a description or a reasoning for it than I decided not to train them very well so that I could beat them. And then I ran away very badly and I was caught.
I mean, it wouldn't be beyond Star Wars right now at this point in their storytelling escapades. And I use the word escapade in the silly sense of the word instead of the actual artistry that the icecapades were.
Ooh.
Escapades. All right. It wouldn't be beyond them to say Gregor trained all of these TK units bad and that's why they don't shoot well.
I mean, really. At this point.
Gregor is the reason that stormtroopers suck.
But we didn't need that justification.
I know.
Because they already suck.
I mean, nothing really needs to be justified in Star Wars. They could just tell stories. It's just weird. It is, to me, the thing is, like, it's like this whole, like, fan service argument. I don't need it. Some people like it.
Nope. I agree.
Right?
However.
Some people are really only there for, and I don't really like using the word fan service because you get it in the way you like, and it's not fan service. It's callback or it's storytelling or you get it in the way you don't like it. You're like, it's fan service. I don't like it in general to talk about it like that, but it does seem like Star Wars has been leaning into attempting to make everything relevant.
Well, if you're listening, and one, thank you very much for listening. Two, this is something I've talked about a little bit in the past, and I'll talk, and Marie Claire knows it very, very well, and that's how much I hate why questions.
Oh, yeah.
And this seems to be what's happening in Star Wars, is like, why can't stormtroopers shoot very well? Oh, it's because X. I don't like why questions because Marie Claire's psychology exam when she was taking, not exam, but like class, when she was taking counseling psych, they told her that if you ask why questions, it makes people defensive.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I've taken that to heart and I try not to ask why questions in my life.
There are ways to ask why without actually using the word why.
Exactly. But yes. I came to the realization recently, and I don't think I've talked to you about this, that there's another reason why questions are bad.
Hmm.
And why questions can never be answered. They will just beget further why questions as you go down the rabbit hole of motivation.
So it's like when you have a 3-year-old.
Exactly.
That's like, why is the sky blue?
And then you answer, oh, it's because the oxygen in the air, and the nitrogen especially, bounces the blue light off of it and into space. And it becomes even more complicated because they're going to answer, because you can always ask why. It never ends. And not only does that now put people on the defensive because now they're just continually answering why questions, but it tells me there is zero purpose in ever asking a why question because you'll just immediately be able to ask a follow-up why question, just like we've already done with Gregor and his motivations for running away. All right, let's just accept that Gregor has run away. I'll just accept that hollow space calls can be made while in hyperspace. And I will just...
I'll just accept that clones can climb an entire mountain without being winded and needing to sit down.
Yes, because these things happened.
Okay.
But then at the same time, don't tell me that somebody can fall off this mountain and give some concern to someone falling off that exhaust port and dying and then show us Hunter falling.
Yes.
And not dying.
Yes.
Not only that, but just like being just slightly winded and then getting up.
He he's a defective clone.
Okay, so let's get into the meat of it.
Okay.
How many scenes were there?
How many were there?
Yeah, any guesses?
Oh, like, oh, was it like 11?
36.
What? It really went back and forth.
It's a 36 scene episode.
There was a lot of action.
Oh my gosh, but it's kind of unnecessary. It was just chase action and then
yeah,
kind of a space
true flight. I liked them sneaking around. I don't know what it was.
I have so many sneaking scenes. There's like five.
Sneak, 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 sneak. I think spying. I was like, sneak, 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 sneak.
Scomp
sneak,
in,
sneak,
sneaking, alarm, run. We got it to the lift again.
Yeah.
Back to the ship.
Yep.
So did you like this episode? What were your thoughts? I've spoken a ton.
Okay. So why I like this episode is like, this is like laying all the groundwork that we have been talking about this whole season about a potential clone trooper rebellion. So it's giving the Bad Batch especially all of the information that they need to know to say, oh wait, the clones will be replaced. They're very, very careful about not killing clones. They use their stun on their weapons almost exclusively. In fact, I think, and we'll have to wait for death count when we actually talk about it, but I think that the only people that are actually killed are killed by other clones accidentally shoot, or other stormtroopers or clones accidentally shooting other stormtroopers or clones or actioning on that.
Do you want to get into that now?
Sure.
All right. Let's bring it on.
Please, over to Kyle for death counts.
Ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that 9... TK units were dispatched over the course of this episode. Only one died in our faces. He got shot by his own team and fell off the reactor
exhaust
port.
He had the special clone.
Clone
commando.
It's possible that it was a clone or could have been a TK.
He talked and he had D's voice at one point.
That specific one spoke? Mm-hmm. I didn't think mm-hmm. it was. Either way, we regret to inform you the Empire has lost 9. The others are all lost ships. It's actually 8 ships are exploded by...
What? Exploded?
Wrecker in one way, shape, or form. They all go down.
Okay, so they didn't really stun everybody. They definitely blew people up.
Well, I mean, we don't get to see those people explode, so it means less.
Yeah.
Right? That's why they can do these ship battles, and they're like, well, you didn't see the pilot get fried, so...
Yeah, maybe they got out.
You know, this isn't Rose's sister Paige, right?
Right, yeah.
This is something completely different.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's too bad. But, yeah, 8 others. Now, I wanted to write 10, but the doors closed too soon. Because I do regret to inform you, we will never see the Prime Minister of the Kaminoan people ever again.
Yeah, that was shocking to me.
Absolutely. And so we've been able to ask the question, or at least ponder it, is Rampart a bad guy?
Yes.
But all we've been able to do is kind of just ask that question.
He's definitely part of the problem.
Exactly. He is a major part of the problem, and he is not acting with good intent.
Yeah.
He is a bad guy, and he shows that with that scene that you should never trust Rampart. His motivations are to serve the Empire's best interests. He is the CEO or the CFO of a major corporation, and in acting in the corporation's best interests, that's not going to be good for people.
Yeah, yeah. And he's willing to assume all the risks to make things happen that need to happen.
Wow, just...
Yeah.
Not poor Nala Se. I have no idea. Do you think we're going to get more of Nala Se?
I have a couple of questions about what's going on with her. Like, she was taking the you know, small troop...
Yep.
Like, group of younger clones out to go get training. I mean, it seemed like she was like, this was her escape plan. She was just like, I'ma leave.
Yeah, we're going now. Oh, I can take more Kaminoans with me. I'll do that instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would have been funny if that was, you know, she's already on her way out and she's got a helmet under hand and getting into the ship and flying away.
Yeah, and then the Prime Minister's like, and evacuate. And she was like, I was already going. because I didn't really like that you wanted to get Omega back.
Yeah, we were already working at cross purposes. I don't trust you, so.
Yeah, I sort of like how she's just like, yep, and just like leaves.
Oh, but, I wish that had happened.
Yeah.
No, say just flies off with a dozen clones.
Just like, and I'm leaving you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wanted to know, what is she doing and where is she going?
Yeah, she's just taking off. She's going to hang out in Tatooine and raise them in seclusion. Have a little
have
army,
her own little like
protection army, right? And
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish that that had happened. I did wonder why she was wearing the same orange jumpsuit as the others were. I was like, oh, she's just with them. They're going to go do a training exercise. But I did like when she says, run along now. And then they all leave at the exact same pace that they were walking along in. Like, run along now. Guys, we got to keep moving at the regular speed.
We're not allowed to run in the hallways. That's
exactly.
That's, you know, hyperbole doesn't work here. Yeah. So no speculation on what she's doing. What she's all about.
Doesn't matter anymore. She's off to go serve at the Empire's pleasure.
I suppose that's true. Whatever she was planning on doing. I do think that she was on her way out. Like, I think she was like, yeah.
I mean, I think you're well-founded with what she was wearing, and then she's not wearing that outfit the next time we see her.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So I think that that's a good element. Another piece I liked was I liked this planet that they go to. I liked the mesas and the plateaus when they land down.
Oh yeah, like the round
the forest,
sort of like hoodoos, but like little bulbous hills or whatever, mm-hmm. rock formations, and then the mountain itself, which was carved out in and had that circular look, you know, to it to say this is a hidden base.
Exactly.
You know, and what I loved about the actual base itself, which, like, walking around it to get to the other side would be so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, I'm on the east side. I got to go to the west side? No.
Yeah.
I'm already, like, tired thinking about it. Anyways, whatever. It's circular,
mm-hmm.
right? And you can't go through the middle because that's yep. where the ships land.
Yep. Well, at least for a certain depth.
Yeah. But that's where the ships land. So you're like on the like second level from the top and you're like, I got to get to the other side. I got to walk around the building.
Yep.
I worked in a circular building with circular offices once, and it was so annoying because the elevator bank is in the middle, right? Because that's where the safest place is. But like you have to get somewhere. You can't go through the middle. You have to go around and it just takes so much longer. Anyways. This is just me being tired and talking about being tired. Anyways, no. But things I liked about the base, it felt like there had been a significant change in the aesthetic of the place. And they really accentuated that with the Kiner music
mm-hmm.
in that they used actual like semi-light motifs that had been used in A New Hope aboard the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that
especially when the troops are marching.
Exactly. They used this like specific like motif that had been used in A New Hope. And I was like, mm-hmm. that was perfect. And then
I didn't think they seemed to use similar instruments because there's a lot of baritones.
Yeah.
And it was just.
Yeah, exactly. And then also there's this thing that Imperial bases have mm-hmm. slash in, like in anything Imperial. It's like they bought like, I don't know, the designer of these places like has one thing that they like, which is the grating that is that dark grating that is used everywhere on Imperial bases or in Imperial ships. And also is used by the First Order because I guess they still had enough grating style look.
I mean, Home Depot just basically took out everybody and they're the only ones that sell any sort of
right
related
space
things.
Home Depot
yep.
sold exclusively to the Empire and then ended up winning the franchise wars of 2082. I mean,
that was a wild tangent there.
I was trying to make a Demolition Man reference and I didn't remember the date. Anyways, okay. What did you think of the new armor and the aesthetic is way closer to the eventual stormtrooper armor that the TKs were wearing. Like, this is basically saying this spot, whatever's going on here and potentially
elsewhere,
in countless other places, right, which is referenced by Crosshair and Rampart, is the War Mantle. They are planning on continuously being at war.
Mm-hmm.
It's very apropos of American imperialism.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly being at war.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of that change and that switch?
I didn't notice it.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Oh, they're all white. But that's been the case all season. So I didn't notice.
That's true. Except for the Bad Batch, which have very colorful
armor. That's how
armor.
We can tell them apart.
Yes. They're the good guys because they have color.
Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah, that was basically all. I don't notice those little touches, the different little changes in armor. I'm not that guy. But I did notice the copycatting of Hunter playing with his knife.
Yes.
And Omega playing with her wrench.
Yes, that was adorable.
And realized that they are using that scene, which was really just a segue scene.
Right.
To show that Omega is always learning from the Bad Batch around her.
Yeah.
But not only that, she's fixing Gonki.
Yes.
Because in the previous episode, they talked about how Gonki
can't be fixed.
Can't be fixed and doesn't have, because he can't hold a full charge.
Right.
And then that's relevant later in the episode.
Yes, to this episode, yes.
And so we see something that links back to the previous episode about Gonki.
Mm-hmm.
We show a copycat scene that's just meant to show us that, hey, Omega sure does copy all of the people around her and she's always learning. And lo and behold, that's relevant to Gonki saving the day by getting plugged in and charging the ship,
yeah,
to allow that engine to reignite so that they don't crash.
Yep. It reminded me a lot of my external cell phone battery charger. Sometimes you just need it because you run out of energy.
You just need to name it Gonki now.
Yep.
Get the label maker out. Call it Gonki.
I should do that and get a little Gonk Droid
sticker
for it. Yes, I love it. This is what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
In the future.
And so it wasn't until I thought about that chain of events
that
I realized, because initially when she plugged Gonki in, I thought that she was adding Gonki's computational AI.
Oh, no,
processing.
No. They're just like power.
Yes, but again, like we know that there are droid brains in ships.
Yeah.
Right?
That, yeah, we
that
know
has
that.
To be
yeah.
the case. That's been clear.
Nava computers and
L3s,
computer.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So I thought she was plugging Gonki into the ship for Gonki to do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually not the case. She was powering him, and that was why that chain of events was shown the way it was.
Yeah.
Which was brilliant storytelling.
Yeah.
Across episodes and shows multiple intention within any given scene, and it's brilliant.
Yeah. And I liked also kind of the symbolism of Gonki's broken and defective, much like the rest of the Bad Batch, but she's working on him, much like the rest of the Bad Batch, to be more useful to those around them.
And about a decade ago.
Okay. This, what?
I know.
Okay.
About a decade ago, we installed the TV upstairs in the study, right?
Yes.
On the wall there.
Yeah,
it was on a wall. So exciting. We used to lay on the floor up there or sit on the terrible couch that we had. And we would watch episode after episode after episode of Man Tracker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, we probably watched 30 to 50 episodes of Man Tracker over that summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember,
like, if it was on OLN, we were watching
it. If you've never seen Man Tracker,
it's
you
a delight.
Absolutely need to. Okay, so the premise of Man Tracker. Man Tracker is filmed in Canada.
More or less.
Yeah, like, mostly. But it's because we have this guy, he's the Man Tracker, I don't remember his real name, but he's actually part of the search and rescue crew that goes off into the Kananaskis and like Rocky Mountain area with his horse, and they will go and search for people who are lost in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, really good with all of the human signs that like something has happened here, and can like see the footprints, can track down people. And he also uses his horse, who has like a lot of senses, to track down these people. So it's a team of people who are basically sent off.
Okay, so the TV show.
Yes, the TV show. It's a team of people that are sent off to basically get from point A to point B, and it's through brush, you know, climbing mountains, and they have basically, what, 2 days to get from point A to point B.
Yep.
And they have like a little bit of a head start, and then Mantracker has to try to find them.
I think they get a whole 8 hours or a day.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
Before he can start.
Yeah. But he always stays overnight, so I know he starts at some point.
Yeah.
But they get a good head start, and then he chases after them, and it's awesome.
Their whole goal is to get to a flag.
Yeah.
To within the 2 day time limit.
And
if not
they don't
be get
found
to the flag,
by him.
They're out in the 2 days.
Yeah.
And not be caught by Mantracker. And it's amazing, the show.
Yeah.
But it only has, it doesn't have a ton of legs because it gets kind of predictable after a
You're
certain
like,
point.
Mantracker's going to totally find them because they're being stupid in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are only a couple of ways the show can go. They're lost. They never find their way out and Mantracker doesn't find them. They're lost. They're never going to find their way out and Mantracker finds them. They get to the flag.
Yep.
And Mantracker doesn't catch them. Or Mantracker catches them before they get to the flag. There aren't really many more parameters, and there's not a lot of social element of the game because it's just the two people running out there,
yeah,
being chased
by
it. But I bring it up because
Hunter reminded you of that.
Oh, this is some Mantracker quality stuff happening here.
But
in
we've
this
seen
episode.
Mantracker like look at the ground and be like,
"I know
they ran this way, or XYZ is this way," and we're like, "What?"
Yeah, because the dew gathers on the grass differently after they've trampled it.
Yeah.
In the morning, or he can see the shine from their footprints that you would not be able to see if you were just standing there. But because you're in the heightened elevation of being on the horse, he can see their footprints in the dust, which is like, you can, and they show it to us with heightened graphic elevation. But we got that from Hunter, and I really got the feeling like, yeah, this guy, because we very so infrequently get Hunter's special.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
we
yes,
get
yes.
Wrecker
well,
special
like he's
all
like
the time.
Leader guy, because yeah. Certainly at the start of the episode, we get that, like, everybody chiming in to say, Hunter, make this decision. But have you considered this, Hunter? And then Wrecker being like, that's a great point. Just mimicking everybody.
Exactly.
That was great.
So funny. That's a great point.
We certainly get like Echo being loyal to Rex. We get Tech being rational and like, but we've committed to this.
Yeah.
You know? And then we get Wrecker's like, everybody's got great points. And then Omega who's like, but Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to the point, we get Wrecker's strength, we get Tech's knowledge and his brains, right? We don't get Hunter's ability, his extra sensory, like he hasn't been trained like Mantracker, who has like, by the way, like 40 years of search and rescue.
I know.
As a cowboy type guy. Hunter's not that old. Hunter's is from a preternatural sense, and it's nice that we get that, because we haven't been getting that. We don't. There's not much room in the show to showcase Hunter's ability.
Nor have they been necessarily in environment. They've been in a lot of cities recently, and so they haven't really had a lot of that. Like, I'm hunting X. Yeah, this was an episode built for him because like we're hunting Gregors.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I thought that was brilliant, and I'm really glad that it was there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Something that was brought up by H. Rothgar Canuck, who goes by H.R. Author? H. Rothgar Canuck. I'm probably not saying that correctly on Twitter. But
I feel like Hrothgar is a character from...
Hrothgar Canuck?
Hrothgar Canuck is a character, I feel, from Baldur's Gate.
Ooh, maybe.
But I don't recall off the top of my head. I don't know.
But I believe he's Canadian, and he goes by Roger, and he's really nice, and he follows me on Twitter, and he comments on Bad Batch stuff. And I saw his post and I was like, gosh darn it. Okay, so he's like, I love the Bad Batch's version of C-3PO and R2-D2, basically saying Tech and Echo are C-3PO and R2-D2. And
they really are.
It's amazing, and I can't unsee it now. So thank you for that insight and wisdom, and now I gift it to you, listeners.
Yep,
listeners.
Echo scomps into everything,
yep.
And he's like, this is going to take a while.
Kind of swearing in the background for everything.
And Tech.
Literally, he said this episode,
the odds are not in your favor. I wrote that down as well.
And I was like, he is C-3PO.
We just needed Hunter to be like, never tell me the odds.
I know. And it was such an interesting way because I'm like, you know, I'm okay with them being duoed now and being like the two that do this stuff, yeah. You know?
Yeah, they don't have a lot to do. They got a lot to comment on.
Yeah.
So that makes good sense that they would fit into that.
Yeah. That structure. Yeah. I mean, they're going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Hunter's there for Han. Omega's there for Leia.
Yeah.
And Wrecker's Chewie?
Probably. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, Omega's kind of Luke.
Yeah. They're twins.
Yeah. We're just going to say that twins are the same person now.
Exactly.
No. No.
They're twins.
No. Leia's so much cooler.
And so is Omega. So I don't. Since,
I mean, then Luke. That's all I was trying to say. Everybody's cooler than Luke.
Agreed.
Okay, so before we kind of get into what we think we'll see, kind of, I suspect it'll be a part one, part two for the finale.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna have to be. We gotta go save Hunter.
Last two episodes, which was interesting. This I didn't think this is what they would be doing, but this is good. We're gonna get Omega using. We'll get into that in a moment, but Sad Batch, Bad Batch.
Straight up Bad Batch.
It's a straight up Bad Batch.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's nothing fancy, no different, no puns, nothing from me today. It is just Bad Batch.
It was a sad catch because Hunter got caught.
Ah, yes. The very and tail
it took,
end.
Yes, it took 40 people to catch him.
I briefly considered Sad Catch as well, but I feel if there's going to be one episode this season that does not get a referential piece, it's this. This is Bad Batch. We got only the Bad Batch. It was directly them the whole time, right? In any scene that had not the Bad Batch, it was Crosshair scene.
Yeah.
So everything was Bad Batch related.
Yep.
They succeeded and they failed to drive the plot forward. I think they failed and that drove the plot forward. They succeeded, drove the plot forward. And we see things have been shifted and changed and accelerated so that there's more tension going into the paired finale where Crosshair and Hunter have their big tete-a-tete.
Absolutely. Yeah. So going into the finale, what do you think is going to play out?
I have no idea.
Oh, really?
Well, this is the first season of many seasons.
Yeah, so I definitely get that impression.
Do too
yeah.
much. I feel like, are they going to try to convert Hunter or are they not going to care? And if they don't care, why don't they just kill him right away? Well, we can't kill him. He's one of our stars. And we just created all of this merchandise that has him on it.
It's
a bad choice.
I do feel like something that we have commented on. I do feel a lack of threat associated with the characters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel worried for them at all. And I felt worried for the Rebels characters all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the difference is about this show. Maybe that's because they're playing it so safe with certain choices. I don't know. In general, leading into the finale, I'm super excited to see Bad Batch return. I know that the storytelling will continue to improve. It has improved over the course of the season. I think it'll be just primarily the Hunter rescue, but I think that they might try to call in friends. That's quite a common trope, you know, calling in friends for help, etc. Calling Rex and saying, Rex, we got Gregor, but we lost Hunter. You better come and help.
Yeah.
Right?
I just They have 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes or so to tell this end of this story arc.
Yeah.
And calling in friends is just going to take away time from character development and progressing the plot. So if you start bringing in additional characters, now there's too many people on the stage and no one can fully develop a relationship.
No, you're
to
right.
make this more important. So don't do it, Star Wars. Stop calling in friends. We have relationships. We have finally
Gregor
established
is there
them.
And there can be some reflection on who Gregor is and like what he is all about. That's enough.
Like, we bring in Gregor, but you can't even kill Gregor because Gregor's alive.
Yeah.
So, way to go. But again, you can't have, it's too short a show. You can't have established relationships and then allow for those relationships to change because there's too many characters on stage.
Yeah.
Right? Like in improv, you only really should have two people on stage so they can establish a relationship, change the relationship, and once that change has been cemented, a new person joins and one of those people leaves.
Yeah.
And we already have a huge cast of characters and you keep bringing new ones in for our Bad Batch to interact with. Well, I want to see our Bad Batch
interact with each other.
Yeah. And we got some of that.
But there isn't
episode.
Enough like impetus from outside to change the core dynamic of the characters. And that's what I think that they're trying to inject.
But we have that with Crosshair. Right. So just finally get him back in the group. And then Crosshair's like, I want to be the leader. Oh, there you go. Done.
No, but that would be too much conflict for this show. Yeah. I suspect that they would feel like that is not something that they want to show, which internal family conflict as a pair who have gone through that for a month, basically, is important to show how people work through it.
Yeah,
I agree.
But we got some of that this episode with the group not being in agreement about going and saving Gregor.
Yeah, no, it was great.
And that was great foundational group dynamic stuff that was happening. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's true.
I just, if you start bringing in Rex and having everybody else come to save the day because Hunter's been captured.
I fear that's what they're going to do because it is the trope that they tend to lean on to. I kind of hope that they don't. Absolutely agree. I agree with you. I hope they don't. I hope it's all just internal conflict and then Crosshair, you know, with Hunter, I don't know, maybe torturing him, which would be dark for this show based on what we've seen. And the conflict of the other Bad Batchers would be super interesting.
Yep.
Especially, it would be interesting to see Crosshair and Omega together. Yeah. I feel like that would be like a really interesting choice too. Yeah.
I don't see getting Crosshair to come to the other side with the Bad Batch unless it's Omega doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If we want Crosshair to join our Bad Batch, it's going to be Crosshair and Omega alone together.
Yeah.
Which is creepy in its own way. Because what is Omega going to learn from Crosshair?
Yeah. I figured out who Crosshair reminds me of.
Clint Eastwood?
No. No, but that's cool. Vincent Price.
Mm.
There's a lot of Vincent Price in his voice.
There's a...
like that vampirish...
Yeah.
You know, Vincent Price always played that like creepy ghoulish person.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he's got that like drawn out.
There's a character from a Clint Eastwood movie, and I don't know if it was when he was younger or whatnot. I don't even know if it was actually Clint Eastwood. But there's this Western, and Crosshair, the voice for Crosshair is that character from that
what
movie.
What Dee brought up. I know. It's just, but it's been bugging me for a long time, and it totally reminds me of Vincent Price. I know that's not intentional. No. It's just like that's what's happening in my brain whenever I hear his voice. I'm like, I hear the intro to Monster Mash.
Oh my goodness, Monster Mash. Well, I have a question.
Okay, what is the question? Oh, and thank you to everyone who's been reaching out with answers, even if it's weeks later. It's really been enjoyable.
Yep.
Hearing Rampart's first name.
Still delight for me for
delightful.
Hours on end for
oh my goodness.
More to come.
We've had so many responses.
So I don't know about so many. There's been a couple of first names.
Yeah.
I think I shared last week's, which was Or the Ramparts.
Yes.
What was the other one that you just recently got? Why don't you look that up while I ask my question? So my question this week is, how winded would you have been running up that mountain? Because I don't think I would have even made it up the mountain. I think I would have like died at probably the halfway point. At the halfway point, I would have been so exhausted climbing that mountain that I would have made some sort of catastrophic mistake, fallen to my death. So I need to be in better shape for one, but for two, one of the ways in which the suspension of disbelief was totally thrown for me was that one there.
Oh, so this was from Hurley on Twitter, who's a great friend of the show. It's Admiral Goofamus Rampart. You can call him Admiral Rampart, though.
Yeah, because
that's what he said.
Goofamus, hey?
Goofamus. I still think Trebuchet. I don't know. I haven't heard a better one than Trebuchet.
So currently they're making these Funkos of the Marvel characters that have been turned into like Transformers characters. So, like, they've melded people together. And I feel like Goofamus is like the Disney characters melded with Transformer characters, and Goofy is like Optimus Prime. So it's Goofamus.
Goofamus, yes.
And now I can't unsee that.
Okay. And that's actually Ron Bird's first name.
But anyway, tell me, would you have been able to make it up that hill, that mountain? That's what I want to know this week. And also, I am still, and I probably will forever, continue to want to know who is your favorite droid. So please hit me up with that.
Please reach out and tell us that. Thank you, as always, for coming out and listening to What the Force and the Bad Batch Report. We will be slowing down once the Bad Batch is all done until Visions comes out. I'm going to be covering that with Balanced Padawan on Twitter, or Hammy as she goes by. So that'll be a lot of fun. That's later September. So I'm only going to be releasing an episode every 2 weeks, although I might take a little bit of a break to not do something for once, because doing Loki and this show at the same time was a lot, especially while trying to do it while on vacation.
And we did Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
We also did Falcon and the Winter Soldier
during the run of this. So
no, we didn't.
Yeah, we
no,
did.
It was over by then.
Well, we're like 14 weeks into this, so I'm pretty sure that, Vision, WandaVision was done when we started this.
Yeah,
WandaVision. But if we go back, I think it actually means, cause Loki was only 6 episodes.
I know. It started mid-May.
Yeah, but it's only been 7 weeks.
I know, but Falcon and the Winter Soldier ended before April.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Really? Okay. We had time of doing nothing.
We had a brief ever so moment of nothing.
I hated it.
We are sorting out what we're going to be covering in August and September, but it looks like September, October, November, December are going to be quite busy with Star Wars content anyways, because we'll have Visions and then we will have the Book of Boba Fett.
Hooray.
Hurrah. Huzzah.
Just give me something new.
I just want a different era. I think I'm tired of this era.
Well, we still have the High Republic sitting on our shelves, and there's 6-ish issues ready for us to read and review.
Yes. So yes, 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 yes.
Let's get on it.
We will be working on those.
But until then, let's let you get back to it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. And we will talk to you next time for the last 2 episodes.
Can't wait.
Cheers. Thank you for listening to What the Force. I'm Marie Claire Gould, your host. Our music is orchestral music by Christy Carew for What the Force. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/whattheforce. We like to thank all our patrons, especially those who love and are obsessed with What the Force: Brad, Melody, Night Huntress in Wild Space, Felicia, Hal Rude, Anna Perez from Cal Mom, Neil, James, Joelle D, Christian Luca, Josh Johnson, Scott C, and Susan. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a 5-star review on iTunes or other pod apps. It helps people find the show. Check out our other channel on YouTube or other podcast feeds, What the Fiction. You can connect with us on Twitter at WTForceShow, What the Force Podcast on Facebook, or our website, whattheforce.ca, or on our Discord. Links are in the liner notes. Feel free to reach out and start a conversation. Cheers.